This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. Health Secretary Michael Levitt is in Thailand today. It's the first stop in a tour of four Southeast Asian nations hit by bird flu. Levitt is meeting with leaders in the region to urge greater cooperation in containing the disease, which has killed more than 60 people in Asia. Speaking today in Bangkok, Levitt spoke about fears that the virus could become a pandemic.
If avian flu achieves human-to-human sustained transmission anywhere, there is danger everywhere. And our purpose is to continue to expand the network throughout the world of prevention and reaction should it occur.
Now, Levitt's trip comes as the United States government is preparing for the event of a flu pandemic. According to a report leaked to the New York Times, the government's most recent draft of a plan calls for most decisions to be made at the local level with support from the military. To talk about this, we've called Michael Osterholm of the University of Minnesota. He's an advisor to the government, and he's on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
If a major flu pandemic hit the United States, how prepared is the United States government?
Well, first of all, it's not just the United States government. The real question is how prepared is the world, because we'll all be in this together. And the answer is very poorly prepared, regardless of whether it's a federal, state, or local agency, whether it's an international agency or a private sector company. We have a lot to do to become better prepared for such an event.
Levitt is in Asia, warning people there that the preparations are not adequate. Is that also true of the preparations by the United States government?
Well, in fact, it is true, and I think Secretary Levitt is really sounding the clarion call to say that we have much more to do, and that it's not just the Department of Health and Human Services issue or any one department of government, but that a full-fledged pandemic, which would be something we would experience for at least 12 to 18 months around the world, is something that's going to require many different facets of our life to be involved: healthcare, the private sector, business side, state and local governments, all these. So that's what he's really trying to raise the awareness of at this time.
Is there enough vaccine to deal with this?
Well, vaccine, unfortunately, will become almost an irrelevant issue in the early days of the pandemic. Today, we have a very archaic, outdated system for supplying influenza vaccine. It's one that, as you are well aware from last year, fell far short because of manufacturing problems. We still use basically a 1950s technology to make this vaccine in eggs. On a worldwide capacity basis right now, if we used all the pipes, all the machines, all the buildings, all the expertise for flu vaccine production, we could only produce enough vaccine to protect about 88 to 100 million people worldwide in 12 months. That's just a small percentage of the world's population. So the problem is right now we don't have a system to really make influenza vaccine as a world, not just a country, but as a world. We have not invested in that over the past decade, and we're now paying the price should a pandemic suddenly emerge.
I want to make sure I understand this. You said a vaccine would be irrelevant in the early days of a pandemic. That's because no matter what people try, there just won't be enough of it?
There won't not only be enough of it, but the fact of the matter is that we will need two doses with this new strain. The first dose, we could possibly use the virus that we've currently been working with, in other words, a pre-pandemic strain, but you really want to have the actual circulating virus itself, the one that actually begins the pandemic, to be the ultimate vaccine strain. And, of course, we can't get that until the pandemic begins. Then you're talking about 6 to 8 months to get the first doses of vaccine out of the manufacturing process. So as you can see, in a world of modern transportation where we travel around the globe overnight and this pandemic would be expected to be transmitted at that same speed, we're going to be dealing with a pandemic for 6 to 8 months before we even have the first doses of real vaccine into the public's hands. And then, like all the rest of the world, this country will only have a very small and limited amount of that vaccine. So we're going to be on our own without vaccine as we deal with this situation.
Do you believe a pandemic, a huge spread of this disease, could happen or will happen?
First of all, pandemics are not a question if they will happen. There's been 10 of them in the last 300 years. The question that we really have before us is how big and how bad and when will it start? The last pandemic was in 1968. It was a relatively mild one compared to the 1918 pandemic. What we worry about today is the next one will be like a 1918 event, and the data of recent weeks looking at 1918 and a pandemic that killed 50 to 100 million people worldwide at a time when the world's population was only one-third of what it is today shows us that this potential now with H5N1 has many parallels with the 1918 virus. So this is why Secretary Levitt and others are trying so hard to wake the world up as to the fact that this is a real potential and we have to be better prepared.
And how does the emergency response to a pandemic compare to the emergency response to a hurricane or a flood?
absolutely different in the sense that, first of all, it'll last 12 to 18 months, not days, and then go into recovery phase. The second thing is that we're talking about catastrophic numbers. In the United States, the current plan says it could be up to 1.9 million deaths, and I believe that to be the case.
Mr. Osterholm, thanks very much.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Michael Osterholm, the director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy, and a professor at the University of Minnesota.